Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this week's The Shift podcast. My voice is gone from just singing too much over the Christmas. So I hope you guys had a lovely Christmas. I got to go to a nice little house of my friends. And of course, we had to do the whole... It's such a weird world. You have to do the COVID test before and isolate before you can see each other. But at least we got to do that because they were all Irish people and they didn't get to go home either. So it was we were lucky in that regard. So I hope you guys all had a lovely Christmas, or if you don't celebrate Christmas, I hope you had a lovely holidays. And excited for the new year's. But this episode anyway, recorded that I think maybe a week and a half ago with Emma Verne. She's an amazing comedian, but also a matchmaker. Now, I didn't even realize she was a matchmaker when I got her on the podcast. I knew she had done a matchmaking dating show, but I didn't really know the specifics of it. So it was great to have her on and explain that. I had seen her on TikTok and she basically does all these amazing videos. They're dating advice videos and how to suss out green flags versus red flags. So she talked about that, how to figure out your standards, how to write lists on what you want, and kind of just going out with that attitude on dating. And so it was really informative. She gives some great advice, and yeah, hope you enjoyed the episode. I'm very excited about next week's episode because I got to record an episode with my friend who is also from Ireland. And you might know her. Her name is Serena Kajani. She has a PhD and we spoke about the effects of food and diet on yourself, which in turn in your relationship and your sex life. And she also just talked about her personal dating life as well. So that episode will be out next week, or it'll be up early on the Patreon. And same as Emma Verne's video, if you want to watch that, that'll be on the Patreon as well. So the Patreon Shift podcast, and then there's solos episodes up there as well. But other than that, here is this episode. Love yous all. I hope yous have a great New Year's Eve. Now, I know it's not going to be the same as before, but look, you know, even if you get to celebrate it with your family or a close friend, sure, look, isn't that fucking better anyway than being out with loads of people? That's what we just have to tell ourselves for now, okay? So, but look, try and enjoy it and enjoy this episode anyway. And thanks again for supporting us the whole year, the past 2 years. It'll be 2 years in February, so really appreciate the support and listening. And yeah, talk to you at the end.
I'm okay. I feel I've been at my mom's house for most of quarantine. And most of the time it was me, my mom, and my boyfriend, which you think would be a recipe for disaster, but it's actually been going pretty well. And then he went back to Texas to visit his family. So he's been there since November. But we're healthy and I have a roof over my head, and I quit my full-time job in January to pursue comedy and matchmaking, and then this happened. So I feel fortunate that I have this safety net of going home, but I definitely needed it. So
that's great. So you had quit your we'll just start because this is really interesting, but you had quit your full-time job to go into matchmaking. How are you a matchmaker? What is this?
So I started this show called In a World, the Dating Show, in July of 2017. So basically I started doing improv and then transitioned into stand-up in 2016, but I've been doing improv since 2013. Sorry, there's something in my nose. I noticed that in improv, one of the tropes that came up all the time was just always people on a weird first date. It was just the most common scene when two people stepped out to be on a weird date. And I started thinking, wouldn't it be hilarious if it was people, if people really were on a date, but everything around them was improvised, but the date was real. So then I started In a World, the Dating Show, and I just posted on social media, are you single? I'm not a professional matchmaker, but I'm intuitive and I have like Jewish Yenta sensibilities. Like, I would love to set you up and put you on my show. And before I knew it, I had like a database of like hundreds of people who were single and wanted to be set up. So I started setting people up on the show, and like it was supposed to be a comedy show. But then the thing that people liked the most was that they would get really invested in the setups and they'd want to know the science behind why I put these two people together. And then I started really focusing on that. And then a lot of the people I ended up setting up started dating after the show.
And oh, then I love this.
People who would be in the audience would be like, look, I would never want to be set up like publicly, but if you ever do this privately, let me know. So before I knew it, I was just like setting people up just like for fun. And I had a database of just like hundreds of single people. I was setting up like coworkers with friends of friends. And I'd meet some guy out at a bar and be like, oh my God, you'd be perfect for my cousin. Like just weird stuff. Yeah. And then I just kind of had this, and then before I knew it, I also sort of became like this like dating expert, even though that's funny because I feel like my dating life until recently was like very hard to navigate. But among my friends, like people just started texting me, giving me updates about who they were dating or who they broke up with. And I was like, wow, like I've kind of sort of gotten this position of like, I give dating advice and I set people up. I think I'm going to try and work with this. So I decided that I wanted to do that full time. I also was working on a screenplay. Like I had a few different things. I was kind of all over the place, but I was like, whatever it is, I hated my job. I was sort of at like an end point there, and I had all these creative projects that I just felt like time was the only barrier. So I felt like I will just give myself all this time to do all this. And I had enough money saved that I could do it for like 6 months without looking for work. And then I was like, okay, in 6 months, I'll reassess whether I need to just get like a job just to pay the bills, or I need to go back into like my marketing career. I'll figure it out. And then, you know, obviously everything changed because COVID-19. So now I'm just living in my mom's house and like trying to make video content. Sorry, I'm drinking coffee. Matchmaking.
No worries. I love this. I want you to matchmake me with somebody. That's so great. So, so when you started like the matchmaking, what are the things that you matched people with?
So it's a lot of different criteria. I mean, a lot of it is like, you know, like if you, for example, came to me, I would want to understand like, what are the personality traits that are important to you? I would obviously, I mean, you know, I know you decently, but I would want to learn more about like who you are and what you're looking for. And like, what are things that haven't worked out in past relationships that you wish like that person had that they didn't, like traits like that. And I know you've seen some of my like videos, but like kind of like just dividing it into like things that are necessary in a relationship versus nice to have versus not important to you. And then I would just try and find someone who I felt like had those same values and was equally looking for someone like you. And I think like the most important traits that I take into consideration if I'm making matches or working with someone is really like open-mindedness and kindness and something interesting about them. So I try to look for people who, if you say you have a very specific type, like they need to have a six pack and be this height, it's like, that's probably not going to work. You probably are not a good person for me to matchmake anyway, because I'm probably almost always going to fail at what you want.
Yeah.
And then I like to set up people who are interesting and like that there's something about their life that's beyond the standard. Like, you know, I have a day job and then I like to drink with my friends. And then on the weekends, I like to get brunch. Like there's gotta be something to you that is like, that's like, why would a matchmaker pick you out? So those are kind of my criteria.
So it's kind of as well, it sounds like you're basing it off personality. So how do you figure out what, because there's attraction is just sometimes people can't even explain it. So how do you figure out that part?
I mean, that's a lot. Like that's sort of, I mean, I always send pictures before to be like, are you attracted to the person? But there are certain parameters. Like I don't want to work with someone if they're like, I like to date people who are open to dating like multiple races. If they if not only just because it's, I think it's open-minded, my judgment aside, it just makes it easier for me. Like if you are just like, I'm open to, any race, any religion, but they should be attractive and they should be kind or whatever, then I guess it's also subjective because then I'm looking and I'm like, well, do I think this guy's attractive?
Yeah. But it's so different to each person.
It's hard to quantify. And I would say like a lot of the times I get it right. And then there've been a few times where I'm like, do you like this person? And they're like, no, not really. So attraction is so specific. And there have been multiple times where I've seen couples together where I'm like, wow, like, I'm surprised that those two were attracted to each other. Like, it's a lot of it is hit or miss. Luckily, it seems to be more hits than misses for me, but I have a few misses. So, you know.
That's great. I do think as well, like, there'd be people I'd be attracted to, and then they open their mouth, and I'm like, no, like, so for, I know for, I think for a lot of people, like, the personality really is the main thing. Someone gets so much so much more attractive when they have a good personality or these good qualities that you're saying, like open-minded or have their shit together.
Or even little things, like you're talking to someone on a dating app, there's good banter, they're attractive, and then they open their mouth and their voice is like, hi, Katie, and you're just like, what? Like, you know, like, everything that, even the way someone, like, just holds a fork at a table, like, there's so many different things where that could just, like, not jive with what you're looking for that are so specific that you can't express, that are so, I don't know, that you just need to get a sense of a person beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a date with a guy who was absolutely amazing, but he had a funny voice like that too. And I just couldn't get past it, which is bad. I feel like it's bad.
That's okay. But that's okay. That's why everyone can't be matched with anyone. Like, I'll bring up this video that I posted on TikTok where a lot of people were, so I posted this video on TikTok and it was like, how to figure out what you're looking for. Tell me if this is a must have, a nice to have, or not important. And then I threw out a bunch of traits. And all these people were commenting on the video like, oh my God, this is why I'm single. My standards are too high. I said must have for everything. And that was like besides the point, because the video wasn't supposed to be to like criticize anyone for whatever they pick. It was just supposed to get people in the mindset of like being mindful of what you're looking for so that when you meet someone, you know if they have those traits or not. But if it's like, if you're not specific about what you're looking for, like there's a reason why everybody can't date everybody, you know? And like, I think that people think that that's too high standards. I think to a certain extent, like I think if some of your standards are really specific traits that are hard, but like if you require a lot of things, that just means like, you know what you're looking for, and maybe you can't, that's why you can't date your roommate, or maybe that's why you can't date like a comedian you meet at a stand-up show, even though you know he's a great guy. Like, I don't know why I started talking about that, but
no, but I think you're right, because when I watched your videos, I didn't think, oh, my standards are too high. I was like, wow, my standards are not high enough. And I think that's sort of the opposite side, is there's people who wouldn't have any of those must have and would just expect like the bare minimum. And it needs something like that to be told, like, oh, like they're nice to you. Like when you were, I was going through a breakup when you were posting your videos, and there was stuff like, oh, you posted a video where you're like, just make sure that they like you or that you're not like insecure about that. And like, for me, that was a huge thing to hear, because it's like, and I think you've touched on that in a couple of your videos, that kind of like, do you feel like they like you? They should show that they like you. And I think that's so many people, so many friends would be like, I'm not sure if they like me. And I'm like, you're dating them 4 months. And it's such a simple thing to be like, oh, if I'm feeling insecure about this, it's probably not the right relationship.
Right. I feel like if you have to ask, like sometimes people will comment and be like, well, what if they do this and that? And it's like, if whatever they're doing is making you feel like you have to question it to the point that you're commenting on a stranger's TikTok video asking for specific advice, I can't say for sure, but my inkling will be like, don't do it, you know?
It's really hard, because I think there's two situations where there's people who are like, oh, my standards are too high, which I don't think it is. I think you're right. I think they'll just find someone who is good enough for them, or, you know, more compatible. But I think the other thing is people are so, it's really hard to date now, so they're dropping their standards, specifically women, I feel.
So. Yeah, I mean, I feel like in New York, women are always like, you know, I mean, a lot of me making those videos was me just like learning from trial and error. Like, it's not like I'm like some like guru who's like, oh, I am in love. And like, I have dated so many bad people, and I have dated so many men who like I just didn't feel secure about. And I was like, wait, you aren't even doing the bare minimum of like showing me that you like just you're canceling plans. I don't even feel like you like me. Like, just multiple opportunities for them to just do the bare minimum that they couldn't even do. And I get that. Like, I think in New York, it's just, I don't know. I think maybe it's just that men have so many options, and like you get to New York and all of a sudden, wherever you were from, you were like a good choice, an average choice. And you get to New York and you become like a hot commodity. And then you're like, oh, well, like I could get a little taste of this. I could get a little taste of that. And kind of, they don't have to commit to anything. So for reference, my boyfriend that I've been dating for 2 years, He was here in New York on a business trip when I met him, and I literally like scooped him up and I was like, you're not talking to anybody else here. I don't want you to see how hot you are. I don't want anyone to know. Like, I was like, you are mine.
That's great. I'm just going to turn on the light really quickly because I'm really dark. Oh, I also have no pants on, so you probably just saw that.
Oh, I didn't see it, but I was kind of.
But yeah, so you've been with your boyfriend for 2 years. And when you met, did you commit to each other pretty quickly?
We became official after a month. It's like a really weird, it's a perfect example of like, you don't know what you're looking for. Like, so I had done this exercise to myself. Like I had kind of vowed in, when did we meet? 2018. After like dating a lot of just bad people, I was like, I'm going to like really just like outline what it is that I want and like be specific so that if I meet someone and they're not these things, I can move on and stop wasting my time because it ends up being such a mental toll as well. So I had really like made that list. Like that was what I did myself of like must have, nice to have, whatever. And then I did date a few people before him, within like the month before him that I was like, nope. And I just like would not go on a second date, even if I thought the first date was good because I recognized certain things that they didn't do. And I was like, I'm not dealing with this. So when I met him, I wasn't looking for him, but then he did check off all the boxes. But basically he lived in Houston at the time and he was on like a month long work assignment in New York. And he told me that we were talking on Tinder and I was like, no, thank you. Like, enjoy your time here. I'll go to the Empire State Building. And like, he was just like funny and persistent in a way that was cute and not pushy. And I agreed to go on a date with him. I picked a bar a block from my apartment. I was like, whatever, this would be no effort for me. Like, I should just get out there. And then we ended up having the best time. And then we ended up like seriously like hanging out like almost nightly for that month. Like, I remember my friends had a Christmas party and like, I was like, okay guys, like, I've been like seeing this guy for 6 days, but he's basically my boyfriend, so I'm gonna bring him. And they're like, what? Like, it was like at my friend's parents' house. Like, it was like a very intimate, like holiday party. And then he ended up getting transferred out here for another month. So we had 2 months here. And on that second month, after like a month of dating, he was like, do you wanna be my girlfriend? And we didn't know how it would work. And I was just like, okay. And then he ended up getting, you know, he was like applying for jobs in New York and we were long distance for 7 months. And then he got transferred out here and moved here. But yeah, we jumped into things like a month into it, but it just felt so like, if you know, you know. But another example of like everything emotionally was right, but there were a lot of obstacles and barriers, like the fact that he didn't even live here. So it was not what I was anticipating, but it worked out.
My friend said that to me recently, to write down a list of your standards. And I think everybody should do that. But I like, so yours is must have. Wait, so what is the most, so explain to me. So there's the must haves, there's the
nice. So it's must have, nice to have, not important. And then when you're making your list, like I would just go for must haves. I would say your must have should mainly be about you and mainly be about emotional things. So like on my list, for example, and a lot of that was in my video, but like, you know, like they make me feel secure. I find them attractive. I find them funny. They find me funny. They have passions outside of whatever their, you know, job is. They have things they're interested in. So it was kind of like things like that I just thought like, this is sort of what I need to have a good conversation with this person and to feel whatever. And then like a nice to have, I remember was like, they are interested in politics. Cause I thought that would be like some, you know, I was like, if someone's not interested in politics, it's not a deal breaker, but like, ideally they'd be like liberal and into it. And then I met my boyfriend and he wasn't super into it. And I was like, okay, well, that wasn't like mandatory for me. And what's interesting is like, as the relationship grew and as this year like progressed, because I feel like this was a year you couldn't not follow politics and not be invested in what's going on in the world, he became more and more into it. And so like, as time progressed, like he was the one during the election season being like, are you like talking about polls and podcasts he was listening to with my mom while I was just like sitting there, like eating my cereal. So some things aren't fixed either. And like, that's another thing is like, one of my must-haves was like really good communication and fights and things like that. And to be honest, like when I first started dating my boyfriend, like that was kind of an issue for us. Like, I don't think we had great fights, but then it was something that when we weren't fighting, we were able to talk through and kind of figure out like what pushes each other's buttons and work on it. And if I think about like the arguments we got in 2018 versus today, it's like we both de-escalate the fights quickly, or we both are like, we both understand, like, let's just hear the other person out. And I don't think it started that way. So some things can change. Like, that was a must have for me that did change in the course of the relationship.
Yeah, but I guess especially for communication, you do have to work together on, because everybody communicates differently. So that's something you can grow together. But do you mean you wanted to have good fights? What does that mean?
Well, just like, I just wanted to feel like it, like if I expressed something that was upsetting me, that it wasn't like immediate like defensiveness, like that I could yes. say like, hey, like it, you know, I didn't really like that you did that. And that the person on the receiving end of that could be like, wow, I didn't know you felt that way. Like, this wasn't my intention, but the fact that I hurt you, I'm sorry for that. You know, like intention versus like, you know, I think that's something I tried to point out to my boyfriend that he's like really been good at, of just like, a lot of times I'd say like, oh, like, I don't like this. And he would be like, well, that's not what I'm doing. And like, just get like shut down. And I was like, I'm not accusing you of saying that you did this intentionally. I'm telling you that whatever your intention was, it hurt my feelings. So if you could just acknowledge that, like, you're sorry my feelings are hurt, and even explain to me what your intention was, that's fine. But when you shut down or tell me like you don't care, like you can't do that. Mm-hmm. And that was something that we really grew like to get. And I don't want to say like I had the best style and I knew, but like I will say that like I've been in therapy for a minute. So I have learned some skills, not because I'm amazing, but because like I was paying for it. Like I was literally, I've been in therapy. And so, you know, I think certain things can be learned, and it's just like, if the, you'll get a sense pretty soon if someone you're dating is open to changing or open to learning, and some people aren't. And I think that I said this is something really important to me, and my boyfriend really heard it. And I think that the way that we communicate has just gotten so much healthier, and it makes me really happy.
Yeah, I love that. That's amazing. That's what everybody wants. But I think, yeah, I think that's just someone being emotionally mature.
Yeah.
And willing to work on that and not getting defensive and stuff. So yeah, good fights. Now I understand what you're saying. That is very important.
I just wanted a good deep fight where we're just like, fuck you, no fuck.
I was like, oh no, should I be fighting more?
No, I just don't like healthy fights. You yeah. know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's good, because it sets the boundaries and stuff. I completely understand what you're saying. And so you also did all these videos about green flags, red flags, and how to identify them. Because I never notice red flags until like I'm out of the relationship. I'm like, oh yeah, they said on date one that they never wanted commitment, and I went and dated them for like 3 months.
That's not true. I'll be the one. And they're like, no, I told you.
Yeah. It's my roommate just said that to me the other night. She's like, I always think I can change them. And I think everybody secretly does, because you're like, well, you haven't met me and we get on right. so well. And, yeah. and you're like, oh no, I just wasted my time.
Mm-hmm. I've been there. I have literally dated people where from the first date, they're like not looking for anything. And then I'm like, why don't you want to be my boyfriend? And they're like, what do you mean? Like, we're not living in the same reality. So I get that.
And so how do you identify green flags? What are green flags?
I would just say they're the opposite of red flags. I kind of feel like it's just like, do you look at the glass half empty or half full? Like, you could reframe the same sentence as a red flag or a green flag. So like red flag would be like, they don't make me feel emotionally secure. And the green flag would just be like the inverse of that, of like, they make me feel emotionally secure. So it's really just like, do you date looking for what you don't want? Or do you date looking for what you do want? But I would say like, I think if you're someone who like outlines things you want, you don't have to outline things you don't want. You know what I mean? Yeah. 'Cause I think that they're the same. It just depends on like how you view it. I think it's more positive to look at green flags, because rather than focusing on like what's going to go wrong, focus on like what you need for it to go right. But I think that it's just the inverse of a red flag.
Because I actually thought it's better to look at it like that, like, okay, this guy does this instead of this guy doesn't do that, or this woman does this instead of, yeah, no, I think it's great. I find red flags hard, like, because my friends then later on will be like, oh, that was a huge red flag. But for me, I'm just like, oh, I give excuses for people. I'm like, oh, maybe they didn't mean that, or maybe they didn't mean to say it that way. So it's kind of hard. Like when I looked up today, like what are all the red, like big red flags? It's like, some of them are so subtle. Like, yeah, abuse, obviously, if they're abusing you. But then it's right. like, oh, do they make you feel insecure? And you're like, but how much security do you need from a person? Like, I love getting compliments, and a lot of the guys I've dated don't like giving them, but I've always been like, oh, that's a me thing. Maybe I shouldn't expect them to give me compliments. But actually, that's something I would like in a future partner. So just being like, okay, it's hard, because you're like, is it me or is this a red flag?
Right. And then there's also just like things of like what you were just saying, like dating is so hard right now. And it's not like you want to settle, but you're like, well, if they have like 80% of what I'm looking for, can I, like, what if I can't find someone else who even has that? So it's like, do you just like lower your standards because you don't know if there's ever going to be someone and they make you happy enough? And it's hard, you know, but if you ask for what you want, like if you use like you liking compliments as an example, like if you were dating someone great and everything was there, except you feel like he wasn't giving you compliments, I would say like, just ask for what you need. Like, could you ever say like, you know, if they do give you one compliment, just be like, I love when you give me compliments or like something like that. And just be like, that's like my love, or joke and be like, you know, I think that's my love language. Like that makes me feel really good. And see like, okay, maybe that's not what's natural to them. But if they heard you say that and they know it's important, is that something that they're willing to work on? Because like, that's what they know that you like, you know?
Yeah, two of the guys I dated, I did ask for like nicely. I'm like really good at communicating. And they were like, no.
They said no.
Yeah, they just said they're uncomfortable giving compliments. It makes them feel uncomfortable. Two of the last guy days. But
wasn't one of them a DJ?
Yeah. The dude. So the listeners know about that. But the DJ, he just has a lot of issues. And then the last guy, it was just he was really bad at communicating and really uncomfortable with giving compliments, but he was like good in other aspects and like always like would turn up on time and like a gentleman and stuff. So I didn't mind that too much. But definitely with the DJ, I would have liked more compliments because he would roast me sometimes. And I think if you're going to roast me, you need to also compliment me. But it's like, that's the thing though. Like, and I'm sure there's some listeners who will feel the same. Like, so with the DJ, he said he doesn't feel uncomfortable. He feels uncomfortable giving compliments because they sound fake coming out of his mouth. That's okay. And that's fine. And he said, just go by my actions. And I was like, look, that's fine. And I was like, maybe like you can work on it one day. Now, eventually I was like, actually, your actions are shit as well. So this isn't, yeah. But if someone's like, oh, I'm not comfortable doing that, I'll be like, okay, it's fine. I don't need it. Which is bad. I think it's like you should be able to just be like, actually, how do I explain it? Like, this is a must have or whatever. But it seems silly being like, I think when I read up about the five love languages and like there was like a love language that you like getting compliments, I was like, I felt like more secure about it then. Like, oh, it's okay to want this. Cause like, yeah. The thing is also, like, I don't want a lot. Like, I was, you know, I was talking to my friends recently and I was like, if it's good sex, like I always make the effort to go over to the guy's house. I'm like pretty easily pleased. So just wanting compliments, like even with the DJ guy, we didn't go out a lot. We didn't do a lot. We fit around his schedule. So then I was like, oh shit, I'm not asking for a lot and he can't even give compliments. So.
Right. It's like, yeah, if you outline what you want and they can't give it to you, then they're probably not the right person, right?
Yeah. And he gave my friend a compliment in front of me and I was like, what the fuck? He's a guy friend, but I was like, okay, you're not that uncomfortable giving compliments.
You're like, you can compliment men.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. I liked what you said about the divorced kids thing in your video as well, because I think what you were saying, that like, do divorced kids look for what's going to go wrong more? Mm-hmm. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, just like I don't think either one of them is right. Like, it's not like looking for only green flags is like an amazing thing and looking for only red is bad, because if you look for only green flags, you'll miss red flags. And if you look for only red, you might not see, like, you might be too pessimistic. But like, because my parents got divorced and like, I always would ask my mom like questions about like what it was like to be married to my dad. And I couldn't even imagine my parents together. Like, just, they're so different. I'm just like, what? And my mom to me is such a smart woman. And I'm just like, how did you get this so wrong? Like, I just, sometimes I like what I know about my dad, when they were married, I'm just like, this is so not who I would have picked for you. It just like stuns me. And so I think like when I would date, I would just be like, am I making the same mistake as my mom? Like, am I just settling? Because like, there's like one thing that my mom said to me, which I think is like wise advice, was she was like, if I could go back, you know, my mom's in her 60s now. And she's like, it's harder to date now because it's like, you know, not only is there not as much available, but it's not like you're like at the prime of your attractiveness where everyone's going to say yes to you or whatever. And not like I'm like someone that everyone's going to, I'm not going to be everyone's cup of tea. And neither was my mom, but she was like, I wish that in my like 20s, I took more control over going after what I wanted, because I totally just, also dating apps didn't exist. But she's like, I totally just waited to see who was interested in me. And from there decided if I'd give him a shot or not. Versus like, she was like, you know, I wish that there were times where I just saw a guy that I found attractive and I just went up to him, but I totally just waited. And that made my pool so small, because it was like, I gave your dad a chance and he's not someone I would have ever sought out. And so I think like just going after what you want, it's like, what's the worst that can happen? Rejection? Like you're just as, you're in the same place you were in before.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And I think for maybe it's more a woman thing where we will give more chances, because more like, let's say for example, I have guys in my DMs all the time and I'm like, oh, I don't want to meet a stranger, and they'll be more likely than a woman to go, ah, go on, give me a chance, like, ah, go on, we'll have a drink. I don't think a woman would ever do that. None of my girlfriends that I know, I mean, if they do ask a guy out, it's like a complete like ordeal, and they're putting the phone away for like 4 hours. And if they said no, they'll be like, huh?
You should try copying and pasting a DM you've received and sending it to a guy verbatim, like even his like responses after you say no, and just like see what a guy does. Like literally just copy it and replace the name and just see as a social experiment, like how does it go?
Yeah, because could you imagine being like, ah, go on, give me a chance. And like, they're very pushy.
Come on. Yeah.
But that's a confidence that I don't believe women have. And not all men. I believe a lot of nice men don't have that confidence either.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think everybody should just put themselves out there. And like you said, if you get rejected, plus if you get rejected, then you can move on from the crush. You're like, okay, it's done.
Yeah. I think rejection is the best form of closure, because it's literally like, okay, you can stop being delusional. There was never a chance. Like sometimes for me, like I've had like big crushes and I've like shot my shot in the past, I've like reached out to them, and just getting their rejection was like the closure I needed to know that I should not have hope, because I was like, well, they don't know I like them, or they don't know I'm single. And then I'd literally be like, hey, like, maybe we should hang out this weekend. And they'd be like, oh, I can't. And I'm like, okay, I have to move on, because I've literally put it in front of them and they said no. And like, that's closure.
Which is great. And it's great that you see that as closure, because sometimes, and I think friends can be bad with this as well. Like let's say if he's like, oh, I'm not free this weekend. And then a friend be like, but they might not be free. Just hold out. You never know. And you're like, no, they had their chance.
Friends are always, because friends are just nice and they're rooting for you. But it's actually like toxic positivity to just always be like, well, you don't know. Text him again. Da-da-da. And it's like, let's just all go back to the basics for a second and just see, like, here I am putting myself on the line, reaching out, getting like a really stoic rejection, or not even like a minimal response. Do I even want to, like, why is it that I would, like, as a friend, you should be like, regardless of whether he likes you or not, he's not interested enough. So you deserve better. But instead, friends are like, well, he could respond if you try him on Thursday when he might not be at work, you know? Like,
I know, it's so bad.
But
it's, yeah. It's very bad. But I know for friends, they don't want to be like, they don't want to like put their friend down, but it's okay to be like, not everybody's going to be fecking into you. Not everybody's going to think you're the bee's knees.
Right.
People just have different types.
You go to your friends for reassurance. Like there were times where I was dating bad people and I would like tell my friends, be like, do you think, like, I'd be like, what do you think? And deep down I wanted them to be like, I think he likes you. You know what? This was like before I had that awareness, but like, you want your friends to tell you what you want to hear, because no one else is going to tell it to you. So
I know, but it's a catch 22, because you want your friends obviously to tell you, like I think it'd be grand if they were like, look, you're great, you're gorgeous, we think you're great, but like, he's obviously not in the right headspace right now, kind of move past it, or you've shot your shot and he had his opportunity, but maybe he's like seeing someone, blah, blah, blah. Those are better ways to deal with it. But I also think the opposite is when you're dating someone toxic and your friend doesn't want to be like, because sometimes they're worried that you'll just keep dating them after they give you the advice that like, this guy's a shit. Mm-hmm. And then like you break up and they're like, yeah, I never liked him the whole time. And you're like, you could have told me that 4 months ago.
Right. But it also, it's like, you don't want to
get involved in someone's relationship.
Yeah. If you have a real reason, like if they really suck to your friend, or if there's any sort of abuse, but otherwise it's just like, awkward, you know?
Like, you can't. And it can only be if they're like abusive. But then again, like, and your best friend will do that. Like, I know with the guy I was dating, the Boris guy, the listeners know about him, but like my best friend, my two Irish best friends were like from like 2 weeks in, they were like, this guy's crazy. And I was like, nah, I'm going to date him. So, yeah. But yeah, I guess it's just knowing that you've got close people who'll be honest.
Right.
But it's also as well like your own insecurities too, and being okay with like being okay with rejection and just knowing it's not like, yes, it is you, but it's not you. Doesn't mean that you're ugly.
It's not you. The same thing, you've rejected people that are not, you don't think they're terrible people. You're just not vibing with them. Like you have to see what you rejected as the same rejection that you give, you know?
Exactly. Like, yeah.
I don't hate the people that I haven't been interested in. I'm just like, I wouldn't date this person. And that's what someone did to you. Like,
exactly.
We can't all date each other. It has to be subjective, or we would all be married to like our siblings and our parents. I don't know why I just went to incest. I think, you know, I want to say,
I don't want to marry my brother.
I want to marry my brother. No. Yes. No, I'm just kidding.
Did your mom ever end up dating again?
She did. She actually, like, she dated this guy for a year who she met through a professional matchmaker before I did matchmaking. And he was like a former Mormon elder, like just so different than what I would ever expect my mom to like be with. They ended up dating for like a year, and then my mom, you know, she's like on the sites and stuff. But that was an interesting relationship.
Well, it's great she got back out there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I really want her to find someone. Like, I made a Plenty of Fish account for her, and I literally log in and, like, respond to messages. I hope no one who dates my mom's listening, because you're talking to a 29-year-old girl. But I literally...
I'm sure they'd love that.
It's funny just, like, trying to figure out what's attractive in, like, 60s. Like, I'm like, ooh, 67, retired doctor, 5'8", only a little bit balding. Hello, sir. Like, I'm literally messaging, or I'm like, oh, I see you listen to NPR. Can't say I hate it either. Love that in the New York Times. Like, I'm trying to be like sexy in my 60s for my mom that's like her ghostwriter, and it's fun.
When I love if you end up matching her with somebody and like they become like your stepdad, and then he'll be like making jokes with your mom, like, oh, remember when we talked about NPR, and you're like, and I'm like, said this. Oh, I googled this thing and it was like the important things for relationships. Have you heard about this? The 3 C's. And so I forget it now, but I think it was commitment, communication. And I have to look it up, because I wrote down 3 C's thinking I'll remember that, but I actually don't. Here we go. Commitment, compromise, which is true. You should want to compromise, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're two people from different worlds. Like, you're going to have to make it work, because like your life's changing if you're incorporating someone else into it.
Yeah. And what about commitment as well? Do you think if a person says that they have a fear of commitment up top, that there is a possibility it will work out?
No. I just think, like, why are you going to try and change someone who, even if they could change, why do you have to give yourself that burden? Like, it's like, we like to take on projects. Like, why? That's not yours. It's not your burden to bear. You know, like, if you meet a great guy and he says he's not like looking for something serious, let him be the one to try and change. But you should take that as whatever you're looking for. If you're looking for something serious, I would just move on right then, no matter how great they seem. Because it's like, even if you could change them, you're going against the natural flow of life, because they've literally just expressed to you that's not what they want. And it's just, I don't know. I think that also comes down to like your like attachment style and like what you've grown up with. And like, if you've grown up with like a parent who is like hard to be close to, who you were always trying to like vie for their love or try and like prove to them that you're lovable, then you're going to try and do that in relationships too. And, or like you're comfortable with just like having someone that you're always like, I know they love me deep down, they just can't express it. And then you date someone who you feel the same way about, because you're like, well, that's my comfort level. Like, I know how to deal with a person like that, because like, I inherently know my emotionally detached parent loves me, so I could date an emotionally detached person. I'm speaking from firsthand experience of like, I had daddy issues, and like, my dad couldn't express himself to me, but I was like, well, this man loves me. So then I would go out with men like that, where I'm like, he just can't express himself. And I know he doesn't want commitment, but I know how to be close with men like this. And it's like, why am I doing that to myself?
I think that's so great to hear and so great to recognize. And like, I also feel like you're speaking to me, because I know exactly what you mean. And I think if more people recognize, like, I feel like once I started recognizing that myself, I was like, okay, now I need to like I'm ending relationships quicker because I definitely date people who are like my mother and at different levels. It's getting better. But let's say I've dated a few like, you know, emotionally abusive or mental or just like not logical people. And then it's gotten better as I start to recognize it, but they still have qualities. So even like, I don't think I've said this on the podcast, but the last guy I was seeing, I had said to him, we hooked up one of the nights after we broke up, and I had broken up with him just because he's kept talking about his fear of a commitment, and I want to meet someone who will commit. I don't want to be in a relationship where we don't label it. And it's really healthy for me. This is the first time that I've like done that without going on too long. I know, I'm not growing 30. So just to give you a quick background, but the listeners know better. But we hooked up one night afterwards, because of course you always go back just to like torture yourself. And he said that his issue is he's afraid to be vulnerable. And he spoke about the hurt from committing to someone when it doesn't work out. And he'd shared all about his childhood the whole time and his divorced parents and like, you know, fucking got divorced when he was 15. Which is like, yeah, okay. Not a reason to be like kind of shitty in a relationship, to be honest. But so he'd shared that the whole time. I'd never really shared my stuff with him. So I thought if I were vulnerable with him, he would understand where I'm coming from. And he was like, why do you need a long-term relationship? Why do you need something to be a long-term relationship? And I was like, I want that. And I want to fall in love. It sounds great. And he was like, but why? Like, why does that have to be the end goal? And I was like, I don't know. And I was like, if I'm really honest, you know, I think the reason why I've been in a lot of relationships is because when I was younger, my mother would tell me all the time that no one could ever love me. And so I just thought me being vulnerable with him would show to him that it's okay. And like, I've never told any guy that I've dated that. He got up and went to the bathroom. Literally, I literally said, I think it's because my mother told me no one could ever love me. So I think I like search for that. And he got up and went to the bathroom.
Oh my God.
And like, so it's exactly what you're saying, whereas like, you know, the whole time we had dated, it was all about him. And I've had a few guys like that where it's about their problems and their issues. But the same as you, I'm like, oh, like, I guess I'm just so comfortable with someone who's like my parent, because I'm like, that's what I equate as of love.
Right.
And yeah. He got up and went to the loo.
Right. And even though it upset you, you're probably like, well, I know this feeling, you know, so it's like,
you don't even see it as a big deal at the time. I was just like, I said it to him, I go, are you serious? And when he got to the door and he was like, oh yeah, I'm just going to the bathroom. And I was like, I just shared something very vulnerable with you. You said you're struggling with being vulnerable. Like, would you want me to react to you this way if you were ever vulnerable? And he was like, oh, I was going to address it when I came back. And then we had a few drinks and stuff, but
I just want to take a shit before I told you I'm sorry about your mommy issues.
Right. Yeah. And like, again, it's not his problem to deal with. And I never expected that, but it's because he had shared so much about his and I never did. So I kind of thought, shit, maybe I should be vulnerable. It was like a one last.
Addressing it is not his problem. Like, that's just basic compassion. You know what I mean? Like, you're not looking for him to solve your deep seated issues with your mom. You just want him to show some love. Like, you, and knowing you, you are such a compassionate, empathetic person that I'm sure when he told you that his parents got divorced when he was 15, you were like, wow. Like, I don't know for sure, but I'm sure you gave him a listening ear and a level of empathy. And then you told him something that, like, you know, not trying to compare traumas, but like, sorry, but yours seems on the surface like it was very impactful. And he gets up and walks away. That's not you asking him to fix a problem. That's just you being like, are you a human? Are you a human? Yeah. Can you listen to me? Like, that's so basic.
Well, it was good because I'm glad that he did that, because I don't need... Like, and this is the thing, when we broke up, he was like, I need you more, because and I was like, no, it's not that. It's just, I'm not willing to put my issues on someone, you know, like maybe in a serious relationship, maybe long-term down the line, I'll share that side of my life, but I don't need to dump it on someone straight away. And the thing with him is, if it's, you know, he had a lot of issues, and if it's not about him, he doesn't want to listen.
Right.
And so it was good in that regard, but yeah, couldn't even be like, God, that's bad, or even just like, oh, I understand now where you're coming from and why you would like a secure, happy relationship. Yeah. And to feel loved. Why I need compliments.
Yeah, exactly. Well, also, I mean, I feel like what you need is like someone who's like a long-term listener of your podcast who's just like, hey, Katie, listen, I know about this ex-boyfriend. I know about this ex-boyfriend. I know about this issue with your mom. I remember in episode 31 when you talked about that. And like, just like, and so I want to say, you are beautiful. Like, practice it all up. And like, it's like, collective of everything you've asked for. Like, if you want to date me, listen to my podcast and you'll know exactly what I need.
Yeah, and they don't even have to listen to my podcast, just listen to me. You know, not, you can tell when someone's not listening as well, they just kind of zone off, and like, that's it, that's fine. He's just not for me, and he's probably not for anybody right now. Like, whoever he ends up with will be just be some woman who's willing to like settle or put up with his shit, because he is a good person, but like right now he needs a lot of work to do. And I think that's like, I loved what you said in one of your videos, they're not bad people, you just, are you willing to put up with, you don't have to put up with that shite right now. They're just, if yeah, if someone's like being selfish, that's fine, fucking be selfish, but just don't drag anybody else into your fucking selfish bubble.
100%. Not everyone who wants to date is like an abuser or a narcissist or a psychopath or a sociopath. Some of them are just good people who just are not good to date. Like, you probably have friends that you would never fucking date, you know, they're good people, but they're stuck in relationships.
That's so true. And those people develop at different stages, and then some people just won't want to, they just won't want to compromise, or they just won't, don't want to commit. And so if you want those things, you definitely should see that and walk away. So hard to walk away though, especially if like the sex is good, or like,
yeah. Or if there's nothing else going on and you're just like, well, it's this or nothing.
In a pandemic.
Yeah. How have you been dating in like a pandemic? Like, what has that been like for you?
Well, I met both the guys that I dated in the pandemic on Hinge, the ones that I dated for like months. So Blurry, I call him on the podcast. I dated him for like 2 months online because there was like lockdown. And then, because Dez would make this joke about how he because he was blurry for a couple of the first FaceTimes. So now we just call blurry. Him. Yeah, we have like code names for all the people we date. So we met, and then we dated for 2 months FaceTime, and then 3 months in real life, and then I broke it off with him because we weren't sexually compatible, but he was really nice, and like, yeah, and the compliments, but he did do other stuff. I like, in fairness, if they're doing other stuff, I can kind of skip the compliments, but he's really nice man. But the sex thing was just fucking wild. Just so incompatible. Like, he could just not have sex, not a high sex drive. Yeah. And I'm horny as fuck all the time. I just want to bang all the time. It's like really high in my list, which is bad because like with the DJ. Because with the DJ, the sex was amazing, and he could keep up with me and have lots of sex. So I kind of be like, well, he talks about his ex all the time, but like, sex is fire. Or like, you know, I would kind of, so I think all the scene, even when I'm watching your videos and you're talking about all these green flags and stuff like that, I did think, well, what about sex? So, you know, with Blurry, I thought, I can make this work, I can make it better, but actually, like, he probably needs to like go on medication or something. I don't know. Like, to improve his sex. Like, I mean, it's just not compatible. So it didn't work. But do you think like, if the sex is kind of like shite at the start, and you have all these green flags and it's all great and you are attracted to them, but they're like a shite kisser or they're shite in bed, do you think you can kind of work and make that better if they are willing to as well?
Yeah, I think it depends. Like you said, like, I think if they're willing to, then, you know, like, I think there's way, like, you might, I think you also have to say, like, is it bad or is it just different from my style? Like, maybe someone it kisses not badly, but like, they kiss differently than you. And like, you could be like, okay, kiss me the way you kiss me, and then I'll kiss you the way I kiss you. And you'd be like, I'll follow your lead first, then you follow my lead. Like, let's see how we're different kisser. Like, you could do it like, you know, like, something like that, and be like, okay, we both kiss differently, like, whatever. Like, I think you can see pretty on, like, if they're open to it, I feel like just try and do like subtle things like that aren't insulting, but just like pointing out the differences and see how they take it and see if things improve. But I do think like long term, if there's no sexual chemistry and you've tested it out and it doesn't seem like something that can change, I think that might not, if you have a high sex drive, like, yeah, it's probably not going to work for you because you're not, but if they're open to it, I would at least try, you know? And like, I do, not to, this is personal, but my, like, my boyfriend and I definitely, like, didn't kiss the same. Like, not that he was a bad kisser, I was a bad kisser. It was just, like, I feel like he was, like, more, like, tongue than I, you know, I feel like I'm, like, intermittent. Like, a little, like, kiss, a little tongue slip, blah, blah, blah. And he was just, like, straight up tongue. And so, like, I remember, like, and again, not to say either one is right or wrong. It was just, like, different. And, like, we'd go to make out and we just, like, weren't on the same level. And so I was, like, okay. You kiss me, and I said it playfully, and I wasn't being insulting, because it wasn't an insult. It was just like noticing a difference, and I was like, okay, you kiss me the way you kiss, and I'm gonna follow your lead. I literally did this, and I was like, okay, now I'm gonna kiss you the way I kiss, and you just follow my lead. And I'm like, I'm not gonna add in what I do in yours. You don't add in what I do. And then like after that, I'm like, okay, like we don't kiss the same. Let's like now. And then I was like joking, like we were obviously very comfortable with each other. It was kind of funny. And I was like, okay, now let's meet in the middle. Like it was like playful. But I think we like pointed out that like we have different styles, and now we're like somewhere in the middle. You know what I mean?
I did that with Larry as well, because his kiss was just like drop the tongue in and leave it there. And I was like, I can't. So I said something. Well, I didn't say it as nice as you. I was just like, what did I say? I think I was just like, oh, you kiss very differently to me. Can you kiss the way that I kiss?
Yeah. I mean, you got to say what you want and like just see, you know? And
yeah.
If they can't change it, then you have to like reevaluate. But a lot of times people can, or like they can work. If you have just like different sex drives, that could be a deal breaker, because like if you genuinely want to have sex like multiple times a day or a week, and they want to have sex like once a month, someone's not going to be satisfied, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, God, I really miss the DJ for the sex.
Yeah,
but it's really like I've been thinking about casual dating a lot, and well, or even just kind of, so I know what your mom was saying about your mom was saying about putting yourself out there, but I've kind of come to this new thing of like not putting myself out there at all and not agreeing to any dates for a while, even though maybe I'll regret that when I'm older, because I know I'm like young now. But I find it just emotionally exhausting. The last 15 years I've always been dating somebody since I was 15. I'm always dating somebody, never alone for a long time. I'm always listening to someone's problems, and I kind of think until I go like take some time off, will I be able to change it? But I was thinking like I wish, so like let's say with guys who have like commitment issues, or you know, that you could casual date, and like yeah, that's like shite if you want to meet someone, but it's like, oh, you can just put in your boundaries. So like with DJ, I kind of knew he spoke about his ex so much, he spoke about his fear about relationships, and the sex was great when we eventually had it, but I guess because we spent so much time together before we did have it. But I wish I could have just went, you make this casual, you put in your boundaries and enjoy it as just sex, like putting up those barriers.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to separate it. I'm like, if the sex is amazing, I'm like, I love you.
I know.
Thanks for making me orgasm.
Yeah. No, it's so hard. If you truly can just like have sex without the like attachment or like need for something more, go, then yeah, do it. Personally, I thought that I could. But even when I don't even want a relationship with that person, I start to wonder why they don't want a relationship with me. And then I'm like, well, clearly this isn't what I want, because like, I don't even necessarily want to date you, but why don't you want to date me? Like, you know.
That's such a good point. And I think a lot of people won't admit that, but I think most people feel that. And I think that's down to the whole, like, I've had guys who I haven't wanted to date and I've been like happy with it not turning into a relationship, but I'm like, oh, we'll just go, like, we're having a few dates, it's fine. But when they haven't asked me to be their girlfriend, all of a sudden I'm like, well, now I want to be their girlfriend, just because I want
trying to reject you. Can't you see?
Yeah, but that's like ego. Yeah, you should be like, this is great. They don't want me to be. It's the same with like the DJ I dated. I ended it and he didn't want a relationship. He got his fucking jail. What is it? Out of jail card.
Out of jail free.
But it hit his ego. So he had to come crawling back, hook up with me again. And then he started all this bullshit of like, oh, I don't know if I want to. And I'm like, what the fuck are you back here? Why? I gave you, you're out. What are you doing, pal?
Yeah.
But the only logical answer is it's ego. And he's not a bad person for doing that either. It's just not being able to deal. Not like all of a sudden he's like, oh, well, if she doesn't want me, maybe I do. And then you go back and you're just fucking with people's heads instead of being like, Jesus, I got my greatest. Like, I think. Most people do that, not meaning to hurt somebody, but
yeah. And it's like their love language is rejection. It's like, oh, nothing is like as hot until like I'm like until I know I can't have you. That's like so unhealthy, but it's so true. Like when someone doesn't want you, you're like, well, I'm going to make you want me. And it's like, you are never going to make that person want you, but you got to learn that for yourself.
It's so bad. And the thing is, like, because if I went by that attitude, like I'm going to make them want me, I would have stayed fucking around with this bloody DJ for months afterwards, trying to trick him into being like a boyfriend. And it's like, you like learning from past experiences, that's not going to happen. Because even if you do trick them into being like your boyfriend, or you trick them into being like, oh, or you're playing hard to get or whatever fucking games, long time, you have to drop that game eventually. So you've just wasted a fucking year.
Yeah. And it's mental space too, because the amount of time that you spend talking to friends, think about how many conversations of like friends and people you love and you care about, how much airspace has been wasted talking about a guy who is irrelevant now. When I think about like precious time I had with friends where for 40 minutes, I was like, well, we hooked up and I didn't hear from him for 2 weeks, but then he said, yo. And so he also sent the fire emoji to my Instagram story. And I'm like, does he love me or not? And I'm like, why am I talking about this guy? He doesn't deserve that. You know, I think about that all the time of like, why do people who suck the most in my life get the most airtime with the people I love the most? You know, like I shouldn't spend any time talking or thinking about people who have treated me shitty. But inevitably, it comes up in conversation because it's like something on my mind. So
it's so true. Like, I think as well, do you ever be dating someone and they're treating you badly and you've talked about it so much that you're sick of hearing it yourself, that you think, Jesus, if I'm sick of hearing this, my friends, my family must be like, can she just fucking either end it or just put, like my dad says the same, just put up and shut up. Because like, it's hard to make that call. But it gets to a point where you're like, fuck, I've said this story, I've asked 74 billion friends, and usually they're all like, yeah, he doesn't sound good enough, it doesn't sound healthy. And you're just asking and asking and asking until you find the one person who'll go, fucking try it for another month.
Literally, you just, well, I feel like, I mean, I've definitely, like, I've been this person and I've been on the receiving side. But like, you know, someone will be like, what do you think about this? And I'll be like, oh, I think that. And they'll be like, oh, really? Like Sarah, Stephanie, Michelle, and Jennifer and da-da-da, all agree with you. And I'm like, okay, so am I on a council? Like, am I like one of seven people you just asked? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. And I do it as well. I'm very guilty of like my Irish girls, my American friends, my comedian friends, my fucking random coworker. And what do you think this means? I'm getting better the older I get. Okay, but well, I should let you go. But before you go, I'm trying to think, did I ask everything I wanted to ask? So as a matchmaker, what would be your, so we've talked about green flags. So noticing green flags instead of looking for red flags. And doing your must have, nice to have, not important list. Yeah. This is great. I love this. I'm going to do this. Yeah. And then you spoke about like healthy things in a relationship, like communication. What would be your tips now for someone who's single in a pandemic, wants to go out, have a serious relationship? Do you have any tips for them for going out and matchmaking themselves?
Yeah, I think everything you said is like a summation of everything. But if you want to boil that all down, if you want to kitty boil that all down into one thing, let me bring it full circle. Mindfulness, like literally being mindful, putting pen to paper about what it is that you're trying to attract, who it is that you're trying to attract, so that when you go out with people, you can actually know if you are dating the right person or not. And so many people don't even ask themselves these questions of just like, what do I want? And then they date the wrong people because they never established that with themselves. So just in general, I think being intentional and being mindful, and also not being afraid to cut something off when it doesn't serve you. And like, you have to be, you know, eventually when you end up dating the right person, you end up making compromises and you end up being selfless and doing things for them. But at the beginning, you have to be selfish and say like, does this person suit what I'm looking for? And when you decide that they do and you make that commitment, then yes, you make sacrifices for them. You make compromises for them. To think about your own needs when you're first dating and not bend over backwards for what somebody else wants.
I don't think I mentioned this either, but there was another video that you said, oh, maybe I did a little bit, but will you elaborate a little more on it, about you said that people are like, what am I doing wrong? What do I have to change what I'm doing wrong? And you said that, no, it's just you're not prioritizing people who like you. What was that you said in that video?
Yeah, no, that video, that's like what I was saying to you before about like you're you why are we so turned on by people who like just aren't interested in us? And it's like if you keep wondering why you keep dating people who just aren't into you, it's like the problem isn't you. It's like why do you keep trying to make things work with someone who is making you feel so unsure about where you stand with them that you are like asking friends, going to videos, Googling, does he like me? Does she like me? Do they like me? Whatever. And I just think like, if you recognize your patterns, like if you recognize your attachment patterns, if you recognize, oh, like I'm really comfortable with emotionally avoidant people. And so I will consistently date people who are avoidant, who don't make me feel secure, because that's like the love that my mother or my father showed me. You hear this weird ringtone in my house? That's the love that my parents showed me. Then you are not going to date the right person. And so I think just like if you say that like they must be into you as one of your basic tenets, as everyone should have that they're into you as a must have, because then you're going to eliminate people that don't bring that emotional security.
And it is hard to be like, oh, because you might be like, oh, well, I'll show them how great I am. But actually, no, from a start, they should be like, I think you're great.
Yeah. And you should walk into any date being like, I have a lot to offer. Can you offer me something? And like, if you date from a place of security of just like, I'm great and you'd be lucky to have me, it's such a better mindset, because you can actually start to say, you can actually have agency in your dating and be like, do I actually like this person? And is it just that I don't want them to reject me? And if you find that they don't feel into you, if you go out with them and you had a great time and they don't text you for 4 days and then they're like, what are you doing tonight? That's a sign of someone who's not making you feel emotionally secure. Even though they texted you, did you feel really insecure for the 4 days wondering why you hadn't heard from them? They're probably not a good person. You can try and express in that time, like, hey, yeah, let's go out again. And then when you go out, be like, I need consistent communication for myself. And if you can't provide that, that's okay. But I don't want to start something if you can't. And then see how they react. But like, I don't even know why I just started going off on this tangent. But yeah, like don't go out with people that don't make you feel sure of where you stand with them.
No, I think it's a good tangent, because I think people right now, and me and Andy spoke a little bit about it. We read this like thing from Instagram, but I think this idea of being like cool. And so like, oh, so firstly, the guy might be like, I had a guy friend and he had a great date with this girl. And he was like, oh, I'm going to text her back. I'm going to text her in like 2 days. And I was like, if you had a great time, you could text her like whenever you feel like it. And he was like, oh, I don't want to come on too strong. And he was like, usually I'd wait like a week. And I'm like, that's mental, because if that was me, I would be like, oh, I'm not interested. Yeah. And like, so, and then for the other people who, if a guy or a girl takes a week to text and they're like, oh, well, they're just busy, I don't want to expect too much. A text message takes 2 seconds. And you don't even have to like text all day. You can just be like, hey, I hope you're having a good day today. Looking forward to seeing you on Tuesday. Or like, send a fucking meme. I don't give a shit if you only send me memes. At least you're contacting. And it's like, oh, you thought about me today. Oh, yes, I do love cats. Thank you. This is like bare minimum.
Right. If someone gives you the bare minimum, don't give them any of your energy. Like, seriously. Yeah.
I think, and we make a lot of excuses. I think stop doing that. And I think it's like this is maybe a bad metaphor, but you know, like it's like emotionally cutting yourself. So like there is something like, why do you keep going out with the wrong, like for me, I'm like, why did I keep going out with the wrong person? Like, why do I keep going out with abusive guys? There has to be something where I'm like enjoying the pain a little bit, or like maybe the, I guess I'm very comfortable with crazy, so I don't notice it. But also as well, it's like, oh, if I went out with a nice guy and it was easy and it worked out, like maybe I'm afraid that maybe that's like terrifying that, oh, if they walk away, it's like, oh, well, that was a nice guy. He walked away from me. Like there might be other things as well to address. Like I'm
dating someone that deep down, you know, you don't want to get that close to, because that's like the most vulnerable. Like if you date someone that kind of sucks, it's like, well, you know, you're eventually going to walk away. You know, it's not going to be someone deep down you want to make a life partner. And so no matter where it goes, it's ultimately not going to hurt you too deeply, because you knew they were never like that great. But if it's someone great, and you have a lot more to lose.
Yeah.
If you look at it that way.
You'll be proud of me. This guy asked me out on a date. One of the reasons why I didn't go on the date with him was because a friend called me and said, look, I don't want to gossip, but like, I have to tell you this before you go on a date with him. Like, I know his ex and he had cheated on her. And like, everybody, you know, no one's free of sin. And everybody, has their own issues and stuff like that. But I couldn't not tell you, like, going in. And she said there was all this other sketchy stuff about him owing money to somebody. So she was like, there's already drama in the community. Like, just to have a heads up. So I cancelled, and that was great. But I've never done that before. I'd usually be like, I'd always be like, oh, but, you know, they might have grown. I don't want to judge someone. And now I'm just like, if I hear a whim of anything, I'm like,
why even start? Like, why worry about being attracted to someone who you already know is bad news from the start?
Yeah. I felt so good. Yesterday I was like, ooh, and I'm just going to go home and have tea and watch a movie. This is great, because it was meant to be yesterday. What's your Instagram and your TikTok so people can go follow you? And do you have a podcast?
No, I don't have a podcast. Just like doing the rounds on other people's. My Instagram is Emma Vern, one word, E-M-M-A-V-E-R-N. And my TikTok is the same thing, but there's an underscore. So it's Emma_Vern.
Thank you again so much for listening. Like I said, if you want to watch the video, it's on the Patreon. If you want to listen to Serena's episode, it'll be up on the Patreon tonight or tomorrow morning. My editing software is like sort of on the blitz. That's why it was late getting this episode up today. But yeah, there's solo episodes up there on the Patreon. I just do like a recap of my terrible dating life over the years. So I do that just on the solo episode. Yeah, that's all up there, because I can just ramble on, you know. And like I said, thanks again for the support this whole year and last year, and happy New Year's. And I hope you enjoy it if you can, and I will chat to you in the new year. Bye, love yous.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.